All of us have been inspired by the wonderful news about the rescue of the two coal miners in Tasmania. And I cannot forget the words of one of them who said that the family meant everything and how much he missed his family and how much he appreciated being able to send messages out to them. Today, the theme of my message is about God's mercy, His love, but I also want to include a little bit about healing. And you will see how this all joins together by the time I finish this. So I'm going to ask all of you to think of your own family. We are mothers and fathers, grandfathers and grandmothers, brothers and sisters. We work with other people. So everywhere in the world, no matter who we come in contact with, we must have that love. And to have that love, we must have that healing in our hearts. And so I start with this prayer. Lord, you invite all who are burdened to come to you. Allow your healing hand to heal me. Touch my soul with your compassion for others. Touch my heart with your courage and infinite love for all. Touch my mind with your wisdom, and may my mouth always proclaim your praise. Teach me to reach out to you in my need, and help me to lead others to you by my example. Most loving heart of Jesus, bring me help in body and spirit, that I may serve you with all my strength. Touch gently this life which you have created, now and forever. My dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I thank Reverend Shane for inviting me to address you today. Though I don't feel worthy, yet the Holy Spirit has given me many gifts, one of which is the ability to communicate and so to share my life experiences. I humbly ask the Lord to use me as an instrument in helping me to speak to you today. Recently, we Christians celebrated Easter, which is the core of our Christian belief regarding Jesus' crucifixion, his death, and his resurrection. The ultimate proof of his love for us was that he gave his life for us, for all men and all women, irrespective of our color, our caste, or our religious beliefs. And by his grace, we are all saved. In fact, today, we celebrate Ascension Sunday. Jesus ascended to his Father in heaven after he paid the supreme sacrifice for the redemption of all our sins. Next Sunday, we will celebrate Pentecost Sunday. That is the day on which the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles. Jesus did not leave us orphans. He sent the Holy Spirit down to guide us. It is the same Holy Spirit that comes down on all of us when we accept Jesus and we are baptized. The Holy Spirit is also active in us when we read the scriptures. We merely have to ask the Holy Spirit for his help. God is so good to us, and I would like to share some good news with you. Some of you might have known a man called Awi. He died of a liver disease some years ago. I remember the joy when he told us that he had been called to become a Christian. My brothers and sisters from this very church loved and supported him during his illness and particularly his last illness. Though he was dying, Yet he lived in hope, and he was joyful to the end, because through the faith that he had received, he knew that he would soon be released from his suffering, and he would rejoice in heaven for all eternity. So I say that we was blessed by the goodness of God. Yes, we did not go to God through his own good works, but because the Father had called him. He was chosen by the Father to enjoy the saving grace of the Son, and he was helped and supported by the Holy Spirit to prepare for heaven. In Acts 10 and verse 28, Peter mentioned how God had shown him that he, Peter, must not consider anybody to be ritually unclean. The Orthodox Jews were not allowed by their Jewish religion to visit or to associate with Gentiles or non-Christians. And Peter, you will recall, like Jesus, was a Jew. In Acts 10, verse 34 and 35, Peter stated that God had no favorites, but that anyone of any nationality who fears God and does what is right is acceptable to God. In Acts 19, verse 44 and 45, while Peter was still speaking, Jewish believers were astonished that the Holy Spirit came down on the pagans as well as on the Jews. Peter said, "Can anyone refuse the water of baptism to these people, now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as much as we have?" This is an example of the goodness of the grace of God, and that everyone has the right to salvation if they will accept Jesus and renounce sin. Many years ago, Aunt Shirley and I had the privilege to meet a very young man when he first arrived to study theology in Sydney. This young man, while still a student, saw that there was a need to start a Burmese Christian church in Sydney. He did not have an inferiority complex, thinking that as a theology student, what success can I possibly have? Instead, he followed the Lord's advice that if we have faith as small as a mustard seed, with God's help, that the church will grow into a large tree and bear much fruit, because with God, nothing is impossible. Yes, my brothers and sisters, that young man was the Reverend Shane Kim. Before we had a former Burmese Christian church in Sydney, he started prayer meetings in Christian homes. I attended my first prayer meeting in the home of Uncle Morris Nyang. I did not realize at that time the quiet strength, the determination, and the grace that God had blessed Reverend Shane with. We give thanks for God's goodness and his grace in establishing this church, and to its members, the fellowship and comfort it gives to anyone who comes in contact with it. Above all, we praise, we thank, and we glorify the Lord for the many people who have come to the Lord through the ministry, prayers, and support of the pastor and members of this church. We must always remember first, though, that Jesus made a deliberate choice to love us. Secondly, that Jesus' choice to love us came at a terrible price, the sacrifice of his life for us. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. Jesus, our Lord and Master, makes a demand on all of us whom he loves, that you love one another as I have loved you. Again he said, you are my friends if you do what I command. We are therefore commanded to love one another by Jesus. And if we would be good or loving like Jesus, then we must love one another and even learn to love our enemies. I'll give you another commercial about Reverend Shane Kim. You know, when he was in Singapore and he didn't realize that I'm going to come up with these things, Reverend Shane Kim belonged to a choir. And they used to make hymns and sell the cassettes. And that is how he was helping to support himself. So before he was a reverend, he was a well-known singer. Now let me tell you about the greatness of God. He is the source of all that is, and the source of all our blessings. God is supreme. He is the power and the glory. He is the Lord of all. Yet this love, this loving God, is always reaching out to us and raising us up whenever we fall. I wish to share with you an example of God's greatness, His glory, and His love. A Korean lady intended to become a high school teacher, and she went to Rangoon University to study. I met her while she was a tutor in the history department, where she worked for 12 years. In 1974, God called her to be a Christian missionary to the Solomon Island people, who were sea gypsies or Moken people living on Dung Island near Bay. They did not speak Burmese, nor did they have any Solon language. This young woman lived among them for 30 years and taught them about Jesus and founded a school for them. In that time, she learned their language and created a written Solon language and translated the whole New Testament into the Solon language by the year 2000. She was away from her family, her friends, and the church members. She resigned her job from Rangoon University and gave up all security and comfort. But she had Jesus with her in her heart to guide her and support her. She wrote to Auntie Shirley and I last year and said, "The Lord is so good to us. Only this year did I really thank God for creating me. He had a plan for the sea gypsies or Moken people. Somebody had to learn their language." My brothers and sisters, it was not an easy 30 years, as you will understand. But by the efforts of this one woman, a whole new group of people were shown the way to the Lord, who is the life, the way, and the truth. The lady went on to say, "Now there are 12 co-workers living and serving there. They have established a boarding house for the Moken children. A sea gypsy boy and a girl are in Yangon completing high school studies." In 1 John 4, verse 7, it is written, "Love comes from God. When I love, I am a child of God and know God." And in verse 10, it says, "Love is not that we have loved, not that we have loved God, but that He has loved us and sent His Son to be the means by which our sins are forgiven." We can see how faith can do wonderful things if we believe with all our heart and minds. But we must also humbly and generously serve our fellow men and women, just like Jesus did. It is through serving her brothers and sisters that this lady showed her love for the saloon people. This remarkable Karen woman is Norsede, and she is Auntie Shirley's first cousin. She is now at Insein, where she looks after the 2C Gypsy High School students. She is busy revising her translation of the Book of Psalms into Salun, and she asks us to pray for her mission. Let us praise the Lord for sending such a laborer into the Salun vineyard, and also let us pray for abundant workers in Australia. Now I would like to testify about the mercy of God. The theme of God's mercy can be seen in the few parables that I have selected. In Luke 15, verse 24 and 25, the father welcomes back the son who was lost in sin by having a feast with singing and dancing. But the elder brother did not understand the father's joy, and he was angry, and he condemned his brother. So often in life, it takes a major catastrophe for us to turn away from our life of sin. But God the Father is merciful and is always watching and waiting for us to turn away from our sins. His love and mercy towards us is unconditional and unlimited. In Luke 10, verse 33 and 34, we saw how a Jewish priest and a Levite, both men who knew the scriptures and thought of themselves as good men, they totally ignored a dying man and showed no love or compassion when he had been attacked. The Samaritan was a man of low social status compared to the priest and the Levite. But it was the good Samaritan who practiced real love and mercy towards his neighbor. In Matthew 18, verses 24 and 33 and 34, Jesus told us a parable about the unforgiving servant. He who had been forgiven so much by the king would show no mercy to his fellow servant. The king was very angry and punished the wicked servant. Jesus goes on to say, "That is how my Father will treat every one of you unless you forgive your brother in your heart." In John 10, verses 7 to 18, Jesus tells us that he is the good shepherd who will give up his life for his sheep. There are also other sheep not in the sheep pen, and he must bring them too, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. Jesus commanded us, "You go then and do the same." And that is exactly what Norsebes did for the saloons. Now please may I tell you about God's love and mercy in my life. My brothers and sisters, you know that I had a life-threatening illness in November 2005 due to an illness called Guillain-Barré syndrome. I suffered an ascending paralysis. I was paralyzed from the soles of my feet up to my nipples. I had severe pain in my shoulder blades down to my lower back. I had abnormal sensations in my palms and in my soles. I was short of breath, and I had a left-sided paralysis on this left side. I was nearly 8 weeks, first at the Sands Hospital, Seventh-day Adventist Hospital, private hospital in Parramatta, and then I was in Lady Davidson Private Rehabilitation Hospital in Bobbin Head in Parramatta, which are in North Sydney. I just missed out having a tracheostomy, which is a hole in my windpipe, to help me breathe. If I had to have that, I would have been a further 3 to 6 months in rehabilitation. From being paralyzed, I'm now walking, as you saw, without any help. My facial paralysis is gone, so I don't speak like an ayatama. That means a drunkard. I am driving again, and now I have started seeing patients on a part-time basis. I get sore muscles, and I have some residual weakness of my abdominal muscles. That's why I fell down ring gardening and hurt my hand. I get short of breath when exercising, but I don't need any painkillers whatsoever. It's been 7 long months since my illness, and my neurologist says that I will make a full recovery. For those who suffer with Guillain-Barré, 5% to 14% die, and only 60% make a full recovery. And the others have differing stages of permanent complication. A patient younger than I was transferred from the Sands Hospital to Lady Davidson after I was discharged from Lady Davidson. She had the same illness as I did, but she could still walk with a walker, whereas I was paralyzed. However, while in the rehabilitation, she developed a deep vein thrombosis or a clot in one of her legs, and so she was an extra 6 weeks in hospital. For 2 months after my discharge, I used to go to Lady Davidson Hospital outpatients clinic, and I had 4 sessions of intensive physiotherapy and 1 session of speech therapy every week. Now, Aunty Shirley and I, we go to a heated indoor pool at Castle Hill twice a week for my exercises, and we do line dancing once a week to improve until I recover my strength and foot coordination. When I had severe back pains, I was given Panadine port, but they caused me to have abnormal liver function. So then they gave me morphine injections, but I started having hallucinations. So they gave me 2 other tablets, but they in turn caused urine retention and dry eyes. So I had to slowly cut out these medicines before I left hospital. I am a living testimony that God is merciful. Why do I say so? Well, first of all, I didn't die. I can still walk again without any help. I'm working again and on no medication for my illness. My breathing is normal, and I made such a quick recovery without complications. When I had severe pains and the medicines didn't help me or cause me to have further complications, I could only humbly say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. And I prayed, teach me to be obedient to the will of your Father, just as you were obedient. My pains are nothing compared to what you suffered due to the crown of thorns, your being whipped, the falls, the blows, and the hammering of the nails through your hands and your feet. Lord, I offer my suffering and my sins for myself and for all who have sinned against you. Now that prayer gave me great and wonderful relief and consolation. The hospital staff and my friends were surprised and asked how I had recovered so quickly. I believe that my remarkable recovery was due to the mercy of God and to 4 S. I'll explain what the 4 S are. The first was my blessing and positive attitude due to my Christian faith. The second was my blessing of a wonderful, loving, and caring family. The third was my blessing of special friends. And the fourth was my blessing of very caring facilitators. That means the doctors, the nurses, the physiotherapists, occupational therapists, speech therapists, the clerks on the ward, the wardsmen, everybody there who helped in my rehabilitation. While I was in hospital, I was prayed over by Reverend Shane Kim, and the SDA pastor prayed over me twice, and a Baptist church elder came and prayed over me, and I was given special blessings by two Catholic priests, special blessings for the sick, and one priest, a third priest that is, came and he had a communion service in my room in the hospital. I had prayers said for me in three Baptist churches in Sydney, and in Catholic churches in Sydney, Perth, Melbourne, London, Canberra, San Diego, Virgin Islands, North Carolina, Auckland, and Mesar. I also had Buddhist and Hindu friends praying for me. God heard all our prayers, and due to our faith, I never felt depressed or abandoned. I live from day to day and firmly believe that every day that the Lord grants me on earth is a bonus and a blessing. As for my family, during my crisis in hospital, I had Auntie Shirley, or my daughter, stay day and night with me at the SCA hospital. My family visited me every day. My sister and brother-in-law brought me food and communion. I've had food for body, but more importantly, I had food for the soul. Regarding my special friends, some brought me communion, and particularly to you, I offer my humble and grateful thanks to you, my brothers and sisters, for your prayers, your cards, your letters, and your visits, both during and after my stay in hospital. I give to my Lord and my God my humble adoration and my gratitude for the miracle of my healing. I believe that my life was saved so that I could glorify God and continue to serve my fellow men and women, especially the most disadvantaged and the least of my brothers and sisters, such as refugees and the sick, the older people, and cancer patients. In summary, God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son. Jesus gave his life for our redemption and the forgiveness of all our sins. By his grace, we are saved. Jesus commanded us to love one another just as he loved us, and to go out and spread the good news. All people and all races are worthy of God's saving grace and redemption through baptism and by turning away from sin. The Holy Spirit is with us for all time to help us, and we just have to ask him for his help. We must love our neighbors, just like the Good Samaritan, not just only our friends. And we must forgive others their misdeeds against us. Thank you, Reverend Shane, and to you, my brothers and sisters, for sharing this tiny bit of my life journey. And I humbly ask the Lord to bless us all, our families and our friends, and that we all do this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and that we will go forward from now to always love and serve the Lord. Thank you.